The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Thank you very much, Barry. The United States has ordered embassies around the world to stop scheduling visa appointments for a raft of student visas. In a memo to embassies, the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, said in a diplomatic cable that the State Department was preparing for enhanced social media vetting of applicants. All of this comes in the backdrop of increased immigration arrests of students in the United States and the withdrawal of federal funding for Harvard University. With me now here at Aviva Stadium is Scott Lucas, professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute in UCD. Scott, good morning and welcome.
Very good morning to you, Pat.
What do you make of this enhanced vetting of social media accounts? It's like if you were going to Germany and the Germans say, we want to see your diary before you can come in.
Germany in a certain period.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a horrible irony here, Pat, and that is, your listeners might know that since it took office, the Trump administration has been banging on that there is no free speech in Europe, including J.D. Vance saying there's a threat to free speech in Ireland. Now, they're doing that as part of political moves to advance hard-right parties, including the Reform Party in the U.K. So what do we have here? We have existing international students in the United States who have been detained over their opinions regarding the Israeli assault in Gaza. We have thousands of international students who are in the United States who've had their visas withdrawn. Harvard University yesterday was effectively told that, or earlier this week was told, it has to accept no more international students, and those who are there have to find another university.
I mean, this is on the face of it crazy. Now, they are going to the courts, and they may well be stopped in their tracks. But then that conflict between Trump and the courts will come into sharp focus.
Yeah, but, Pat, it's not crazy. I mean, let's take the latest move that the administration has made. And this one is dear to my heart, I have to say, because, of course, at UCD, we pride ourselves on taking international students from around the world. These international students often come from countries where they have had risk to them because they've exercised speech. Now, here the United States is saying if you go to an embassy, you must go to an embassy or consulate abroad to be effectively interrogated and to hand over all your social media accounts. And why is it not crazy? Because it does three things. One is it's part of the Trump administration's quest to take control of universities, tell them who they can admit, who they can't admit, tell them who they can employ, who they
can't. No, I didn't mean that the reason and their logic is crazy. What I meant is that on the face of it, this is nut job stuff, what they're doing to America. You know, I mean, they don't really get the broader picture of how important that kind of interaction is between the greater world and the United States of America.
Yeah, I think why I'm pushing back, Pat, is that in terms of an administration, not necessarily Donald Trump, this is horribly, horribly rational. They are pursuing, and I'm talking about certain advisors we can name, the quest to break American institutions, including universities, the quest to put any international student at risk of being punished if they don't toe the line. And they are doing that in particular because of this Israel-Gaza issue. What they're doing is that they're opening up the door, because if you can do this to international students, who's to say that you can't do this to U.S. students or to U.S. faculty members? And I think last time I talked to you, just before I went to the United States, we knew that certain academics were having their social media taken as they tried to enter the United States and scrutinized. So the country that I love, the country where I grew up with this value of free speech, is now one of the biggest threats to free speech alongside a country like China, a country like Iran.
So many things to talk about. We know that Elon Musk and Donald Trump appeared to be joined at the hip, but we all predicted that it would fracture eventually. And Elon Musk sat down with CBS Sunday Morning. David Pogue talked to him. He was asked about Trump's so-called Big Beautiful Bill, which is that tax and spending bill passed by the House last week. And this is what Elon Musk had to say.
You know, I was like disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the DOGE team is doing.
I actually thought that when this big, beautiful bill came along, I mean, like, everything he's done on DOGE gets wiped out in the first year.
I think a bill can be big, or it can be beautiful. But I don't know if it could be both. My personal opinion.
So Musk, of course, reading about the collapse in sales of Teslas in Europe, for example, down almost to half what it was a year ago. He hasn't totally estranged himself from the White House, but he's certainly not visible as much as before.
He's in the midst of administration infighting, Pat. So on the one hand, let's just say this up front. The so-called Department of Government Efficiency is a horrible white elephant that effectively has fired or forced out 250,000 employees, but has not cut government spending. Government spending went up 6%. Now we have this big, beautiful bill that's going to increase the U.S. $36 trillion deficit by almost $4 trillion. And Elon Musk realizes, wait a minute, this might be bad for business, might be bad for my business. Now, he's already been squabbling with, in fact, he had a stand-up row with the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent. He's been fighting with the Commerce Secretary, Howard Lutnick. This is a man who was once Donald Trump's unelected co-president. Now he finds that he doesn't necessarily get his way, and he finds his companies may suffer because one other item, Pat, just to note, the Trump administration confirmed this week it's withdrawing support that had been given by the Biden administration for electric vehicles. Now, who is the owner of a company that manufactures electric vehicles? Musk.
And he was selling credits to other motor manufacturers who were not as successful as he was in building and selling electric vehicles. Now, the general concern about the Trump administration, I mean, I don't believe that Trump is necessarily the personal architect of a lot of these policies. I think the people around him. And then we watched him at West Point making a speech about trophy wives. We watched him in the Oval Office talking about remedial mathematics for students going to Harvard, not understanding he thought it was about adding two and two, and these people coming to Harvard couldn't add two and two. I mean, is the man in need of some sort of mental health assessment?
In a week where other headlines in the United States almost obsessively have been about a book about Joe Biden, which quite rightly questioned whether Joe Biden should have stood for president in 2024. The media give a free pass to Donald Trump, and they treat all these soliloquies, let's call them that, as spectacle. I can take you back 8 years ago, where Donald Trump basically talked to Boy Scouts about sex and picking up women. I can talk to you about the series of lies and exaggerations. And what I tell you is the man just simply riffs without any regard to the facts or without any regard to the standards of decency we would talk about. But a lot of Americans, you have to say, they like that spectacle. They like it, and a lot of the media, their ratings turn on that spectacle, so Trump escapes scrutiny. I guess to give you the closest analogy I can, Pat, for how I try to understand this, Donald Trump is a failed businessman, but he's a reality TV star. And on The Apprentice, he said anything that was outrageous to get views. He humiliated people. And then, as a star in the World Wrestling Federation for 2 years, he learned the trash talk of one of America's largest spectacles, which isn't real, but everybody buys into the fantasy and into the absurdity.
Now, he may have been a failed businessman going bankrupt six times, no less, but he's certainly making money on the presidency. I mean, cryptocurrency, his coins that he flogs, his dinners for those who invest in his own meme coin. And then he's selling pardons, it would appear.
Yeah, he has given a series of pardons. There are three that stand out in the last few days. There's the reality TV stars, Todd and Julie Christie, who were accused of a $30 million fraud. Pardoned. There's the Texas sheriff who basically handed out deputies' badges in return for money, pardoned. And then there's a man named Paul Wallace. Paul Wallace pleaded guilty in November to pocketing $75 million in taxes from his workers. But his mother showed up at a fundraiser at Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort, a $1 million a plate fundraiser. And guess what happened a few weeks later?
Pardon for Paul.
For Paul. Paul's free because effectively this was a pay-for-play pardon.
Now, there's one interesting aspect to all of this. When Carolyn Leavitt was asked about the dinner for all the buyers of his crypto, She said he's doing this in his private time, even though they did use some insignia of the president. So it means that anything he did in his private time is not protected by the Supreme Court ruling, because it's only stuff he does as president. But if she's saying, and she did publicly, the president was doing all of this in his private time, there is a chink in his armor that perhaps he didn't know was there.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to have it both ways, Pat. You know, in other words, oh, he gets immunity for everything.
But he doesn't, you see, because in the Supreme Court, he does not get immunity for everything.
Yeah, exactly. But let's just walk this through very quickly. First of all, there is no private time if you're a U.S. president. The U.S. Constitution says that you do not profit from the office through a whole series of clauses. Donald Trump has put up the fiction that he is divorced from his Trump Organization. In other words, that he treats it as a blind trust and his sons run it. Let's just highlight the fact that not only through the Trump Organization schemes, which were a large part of why he went to the Gulf last month, but through the cryptocurrency, which is another part of American fantasy, this fantasy currency, Trump is going to personally profit by millions. So you cannot have it both ways. You cannot say that he is above the law when he runs what some would call a scam. And then, on the other hand, say, well, wait a minute, you're liable to this because this is private time. Oh, wait, the man's the president.
But that chink in the armor that I'm adverting to, the fact that Caroline Leavitt said, no, he did not do this dinner. He didn't host this dinner as president. Mm. He did it as a private individual. So if there's criminality involved there, he's vulnerable.
But which court's going to hold his feet to the fire, Pat?
Well, it depends how intense the Supreme Court feels the heat from him. They do not want to lose their preeminent position in running American justice. And if he's threatening that, I suspect, with the exception of two, with Alito and Clarence Thomas, the rest will protect the position of the Supreme Court.
I'm not so sure, Pat, and let me explain why. Several years ago, I listened as a special counsel, Robert Mueller, effectively say that there was more than ample evidence that Donald Trump was guilty of a series of offenses over his involvement with the Russians in the 2016 campaign and the cover-up in 2017. I heard Robert Mueller read the report where it was clear that obstruction of justice took place or might have taken place on nine occasions. Robert Mueller said, well, we can't prosecute him while he's president, but on day one, when he stops being president, then we can prosecute him. But guess what? On day one, when he stopped becoming president in January 2021, 2 weeks after the attempted coup that he instigated, his feet weren't held to the fire for some of those crimes. He faced felony charges on other cases, but he's never had full accountability. And now, at least while he's president in 2025 for the next 3.5 years, the Supreme Court's not going to hold his feet to the fire.
Oh, and that's a pretty depressing outcome. Finally, I should talk about the polls. He has remarkable 47% support. Now, there are more people against him than for him, but in spite of everything that he's doing and in spite of all the noise the Democrats are trying to make, the public, well, a fraction of them, almost 50%, still say, go for it, Donald, go.
Yeah, but Pat, not a huge fan of poll watching for the fact that what Harold Wilson said, a week is a long time in politics, and we're 18 months away from the 2026 elections. But just a couple of points on them. Donald Trump has recovered from dropping to a low of about 43% approval versus 53% disapproval, but he's largely done so because he pulled back on the tariffs. If you look at Americans, they're evenly split on what he does on immigration, but he gets negative ratings on the economy, on tariffs and on trade.
And on the plane.
Mm-hmm. And on the plane from Qatar. So if Donald Trump suffers the economic consequences of his illiterate, chaotic economic approach, if his big, beautiful bill that we talked about a few minutes ago winds up stalled in Congress, those approval ratings would dip back down. But let me add one other thing, Pat. I'm so tired of people letting Trump skate by saying, "Bob, but the Democrats are disorganized. The Democrats didn't do well in 2024. When your house is burning, you don't blame the fire department. The Democrats do need to identify Trump's weaknesses on the economy and other issues. But the media need to stop pointing at the opposition and say, well, they just so messed up with that Joe Biden fella. that they let Trump off the hook in 2025.
Scott Lucas, professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute in UCD. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.